I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They fabricated a lot about what happened on January 6th in order to impeach him again. It didn't work. He came back. Then they indicted him. It didn't work. He became more popular. Then they indicted him three more times. And every single time his popularity rose. So if you begin with criticism, then you go to protest, then you go to impeachment, now you go to indictment, and none of them work, what's next? I mean, graph it out, man. We're speeding toward assassination, obviously, and no one will say that, but I don't know how you can reach that conclusion.
You cannot escape the conclusion, according to Tucker Carlson, the next step to remove Trump would be assassination. It's a bold statement, and I have some concerns repeating it, but he stated it. It can't be ignored. I need to break it down for you in more details. That is, again, Tucker Carlson making that statement. They've tried every way they can to get rid of Trump. Nothing seems to be working. There are other plans still underway. They probably won't work. And Trump could be a target of assassination as the only way to stop him. All right, let's set the stage for you. Here we are, August 31, 2023. This is the first hour of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back to back. And of course, when we're on the air, video of the show is also streaming for you at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on our Rumble channels. If you miss any part of it, either the stream or the audio, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. And pull it up and see it or listen to it at that point. And this is a program today I think you do want to share with others and make sure they're aware of it. So here was Tucker Carlson in an interview with Adam Carolla making a statement that look at what everything they've tried, he said the only thing left, the only road to go down to stop Trump is assassination. Now, I got to admit to you, again, this is a touchy area. I debated over this. I don't just casually let those words come out, even though I'm not saying them. It's coming from Tucker Carlson. I know many have speculated, and there have been talk among those who are worried about Trump. But what comes first is one of those issues here again. Does the talk lead and create and push someone to that effort? Or by talking about it, does it maybe make it so clear and evident that there won't be such an attempt? I can't judge that. I don't know. I can't see into the future. I do know that in decades of journalism, these kinds of stories, you always have to tiptoe around because well, let me give you a very clear example that has nothing to do with something like we just discussed, and yet at the same time it reflects an audience reaction. If you do a story about a bank robbery, and the next day there's another bank robbery, another day another bank robbery, you know what you end up having? You have folks calling and saying if you'd quit reporting on these bank robberies, then they would stop. I've never believed they would. They won't stop just because it's being reported. I often will leave out names of someone charged in a crime, especially a heinous crime, because I'm not going to give them the publicity if that's what they wanted. At some point, might be forced to use a name, but I prefer not to. But on this particular position, and Tucker Carlson's remarks in that interview with Adam Carolla, they've tried everything else against Trump. Maybe, look at it, man. He said, we're headed to something you can't deny, a possible assassination attempt of Donald Trump. Do you dismiss that remark and say it's Tucker Carlson. Who cares? Well, a lot of people do care what Tucker says. Do you just ignore it? Is it the tree falling in the forest? No one there to hear it? Yes, it still makes a sound. Do you report it like we're doing now? And in reporting it, echoing it, do you amplify it? Do you make it bigger? Or do you actually diminish it? And then, of course, do you create a thought that maybe someone might have been harboring and now springs to life? Or maybe never thought they would, but suddenly Tucker Carlson said it could happen. Question was also asked by Adam Carolla of Tucker Carlson, will the D.C. powers, those in control, will they ever let Trump back in the White House?
Now, of course, I mean, look, if, you know, they protested him, they called him names. He won anyway. They impeached him twice on ridiculous pretenses. They fabricated a lot about what happened on January 6th in order to impeach him again. It didn't work. He came back. Then they indicted him. It didn't work. He became more popular. Then they indicted him three more times. And every single time his popularity rose.
Every time it rose. I'm going to give you some examples of that in a moment. And there is still another plan to keep Trump from even being on the ballot. There are those coming forward pushing what some are already claiming is a bogus claim, but they're going to base it upon it anyway, those who are trying to make this happen. They're going to argue that the 14th Amendment in our Constitution stipulates that no one who has sworn an oath to defend the Constitution remains eligible for public office if he, and the word is he, not he, she, or anything else, that's the way it was written at that time, then, quote, engages in insurrection or rebellion against the same. Reference the Constitution and our nation. They say that would apply to the former president. Do you understand the reach they're trying to achieve? Trump is not even charged at any point, despite four indictments and maybe a fifth still to come from Arizona. There is not a single charge of insurrection or rebellion against the nation. Now, they tried that with the impeachments the first time around. That didn't work, obviously. And all these charges now, they don't mention that whatsoever. And yet you've got a couple of supposedly constitutional scholars, one from the left, one from the right, who probably hates Trump. I don't know if he does or doesn't. And others are also stepping forward and saying, and in fact, they're saying in this piece, this is from the Washington Examiner editorial board, several respected constitutional scholars, including at least four often identified with the conservative Federalist Society, say that prohibition must be enforced to, quote, the most comprehensive treatise by, quote, anyone who possesses legal authority under relevant state or federal level to decide whether somebody, let me turn the page, is eligible for office. What they're pushing for is that because using the 14th Amendment and claiming that Trump is involved in and had been involved in resurrection, an overthrow of the government and insurrection, that he can be denied a place on the ballot. So they're going to ask each state to consider strike him from the ballot, even if he wins the Republican primary. You have to keep in mind, and some might not be aware of it, federal elections are still run by each state. Each state actually runs that election. Back to Tucker Carlson and all the opponents lining up against Donald Trump.
They have decided, permanent Washington, both parties have decided that there's something about Trump that's so threatening to them, they just can't have him. I mean, they're putting him on trial in March of next year in the J6 case, which basically consists of trying to send him to prison for the rest of his life for complaining about the last election. That's literally what it is. Again, if this were happening in Moldova, the State Department would issue an all-hands-on-deck order to let the world know this is not a legitimate government. And yet our government is doing it. It's hard to overstate how bad this is. And I don't know where it's going.
Yeah, who does know where it's going? Well, we are getting word from the Arizona Secretary of State, who's a Democrat, based upon what I told you a moment ago, that the left is planning to try to keep Trump off the ballot and urging states, especially if they're controlled by Democrats, don't let him even be on the ballot. The Arizona Secretary of State has said his office is taking potential attempts to disqualify Donald Trump as very seriously. And again, these legal scholars from both the left and right floating the idea this clause would apply to Trump due to January 6th. Is there any proof anywhere at any point Trump initiated, activated, carried out, executed the January 6th event? None. And I can say the same thing about, is there any proof anywhere at any point at this moment that Joe Biden has taken money in exchange for foreign affairs? I'd have to say none so far. And of course, then they tried to humiliate Trump. They thought they would humiliate him. And the Georgia prosecutor, Fanny, thought, if I just get him on a mugshot, he will look contrite. He will look guilty. The mugshot backfired.
So Governor Kasich, Republican consultant Fred O'Connell told NBC News, quote, the Democrats are likely going to regret the Trump mugshot politically. Governor Trump's already creating merch with this mugshot. His team seems to think they can pretty much turn lemons into lemonade every single time, right? But do you think if it comes down to Trump versus Biden in the general and voters are looking at the mugshot and 90 plus criminal charges, that's going to go over well with those who aren't his most ardent supporters?
Well, Anna, first of all, Donald Trump's not going to be elected president. I don't care if he's the nominee, he's not going to be elected president.
Not going to be elected president. And that is coming from John Kasich, a member of the Republican Party. It served in the House of Representatives, then the 69th governor of Ohio from 2011-2019. Also in 2016, waged a presidential campaign. But he said there's no way he is going to be elected president. Well, I think I remember hearing the same thing about Donald Trump is never going to be elected president when he ran against Hillary. But one thing I want to point out, to his credit for John Kasich, he does focus on something that is undeniable in our nation right now.
Let me just make an observation, who just can't wait for Donald Trump to go to jail. And there are Trump people who just are so angry at the system that they think the system of justice doesn't work in America. And nobody's listening to anybody else. And it's all dominated by anger. Hmm. Anna, I become convinced, and I'm just going to get people stirred up. I think we need some sort of a spiritual revival in this country. I don't know what's going to get people out of their silos. And I don't know what's going to quell the anger, which is now turning into hatred, one side against the other. We've seen spiritual movements before work in the Gilded Age at the turn of the 20th century. There was a time when the robber barons ran everything, and the social gospel movement was born. And it changed America from an I country into a we country for about 60 or 70 years. I don't know how we're going to stop this hatred.
Those are good points. Christ-like words, Christ-like teaching. But anger exists on both sides. Much of it in the view of those on the right, of course, that they're the ones to blame. But on the right, as well as among Democrats, even some Democrats, and many independents, they're angry because of not Trump, but a dual system of justice. They're angry more so for that. If Trump is charged, convicted, is that right, even if he's not guilty? What about the Biden family? Well, the question of Congressman James Comer, House Oversight Investigating the Biden scandals.
Will House Republicans launch an impeachment inquiry into President Biden after Labor Day?
I feel pretty confident we will. I had a long conversation with Speaker McCarthy yesterday. You look at what we found just in the last 10 days with respect to not only the president having pseudonyms in 5,400 emails, but also copying his son in some of them pertaining to Ukraine. That ties Joe Biden to Hunter Biden, to firing the prosecutor for no good reason in Ukraine, only to save Hunter from being investigated for corruption in Ukraine. We also have learned that Hunter Biden flew with his father on Air Force Two 15 times at least. This hasn't been something that Joe Biden has admitted to in the past. He's only said a few times, did his son fly on Air Force Two? So the evidence continues to pile in, and one reason that that we've waited this long on impeachment inquiry is to make sure that we had as much evidence as possible. And getting this evidence is like pulling teeth. No one in the Biden orbit is cooperating with us. The government is obstructing.
That point, the government is obstructing. The emails just uncovered show communications between Prosecutor Weiss, the Attorney General's office, the White House, obstructing. And obstruction goes all the way back to the Obama administration when it began with the so-called Russian collusion story. And Obama, Biden, FBI Director then Comey, and the Attorney General were all told it's all pack of lies, it's all fabricated, bought for and paid for by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee. And not one of them said, then we should put a stop to it and declare it to be fake. They said nothing. So there again is another reason to create this hatred that exists in America. I'm not saying we want to accept it, but understand why it's there and on both sides. And again, former Governor Kasich, who is a never-Trumper.
I don't know how we're going to stop this hatred. And let me just say this to you. I have been against Donald Trump for 7 years, not 7 months or not 1 year or whatever. I've been against him from the beginning. I look at him as someone who's been made in the image of God. I don't hate Donald Trump. I want justice to come to Donald Trump and accountability. But we live in a world today where it's sort of that anger and hatred and glee at somebody else's misfortune or bitterness to what the other side thinks. Where has this taken our country, Anna? Seriously, we love America. My kids are going to have to inherit America. And what is it going to be like for them? Are we going to be divided like we ended up when we went actually into a civil war back? I mean, this is deeply concerning to me.
It should be concerning to all of us, regardless of your political stripe. Coming up in the next hour, part of the issue also involves the politics of crime. We'll get into that. Also, the Mitch McConnell episode yesterday, second time it's happened. And coming up in this hour, before the second hour, new CDC rules. We'll deal with that. And Ted Cruz on new government regulations regarding ceiling fans and how much beer you drink. But first, MSNBC tries to trap Vivek Ramaswamy on climate change. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
According to a UN agency, extreme weather events compounded by climate change caused the death of 2 million people between 1970 and 2021. Can you offer a shred of evidence that more than 2 million people died from converting to clean energy?
I can offer clear evidence that the number of climate disaster-related deaths is down by 98% over the last century. The number of people who died of hurricanes, tornadoes, heat waves, and other weather-related events in 1920, for every 100 that died then, two die today. And the reason why is more plentiful, abundant access to fossil fuels and technology powered by fossil fuels. I can also tell you today, it is a hard fact, none of these things are disputed, eight times as many people die of cold temperatures then die of warm ones. The right answer to all temperature-related deaths is more plentiful, abundant access to fossil fuels.
That is Vivek Ramaswamy not accepting the proposal in a question that in a court trial would be called leading the witness, as MSNBC's Mitchell says, 2 million have died because of climate change. Can you give us one that has not died because, I mean, it's an absurd start, and you have to assume that she's right and correct when she says 2 million have died due to climate change. Where the hell do they come up with that? What are they doing, totaling everyone who's died from a hurricane, a flash flood, things of that nature? Is that what they're trying to do? I mean, she didn't cite any source. It's just pull it out of thin air. Who cares? It's climate change. But Vivek Ramaswamy, to his credit, did not buy the argument. I want to go back over something we did yesterday in our second hour. If you missed it, this will be new to you. For those who were able to catch both hours, it's going to be somewhat repetitive, but not entirely. If you recall, in fact, I've got a commentary running today dealing with it. There's a group called Clintel. Climate Intelligence is an independent foundation that operates in the fields of climate change and climate policy. Founded by an emeritus professor of geophysics, and their main objective is to generate knowledge and understanding of the causes and effects of climate change as well as the effects of climate policy. And there's where things really can go off rail in a hurry. Let me give you some of the breakout of what Clintel put together. And I want to make sure you understand, this is not one or a handful of scientists. This is a global network of more than 1,600, to be specific, 1,609. So I don't want you to think, well, you mean 2,003? No, 1,609. Have signed on. These are scientists, climate professionals that are agreeing that climate science should be less political and more scientific. Oh, my God. You know what we're hearing from Dr. Fake during COVID? Look at the science. Look at the science. But when it comes to climate change, don't bother with the science. It doesn't look good when you look at it from the science. Look at the political science, which they were doing with COVID anyway. I'm going to read a couple of things that Clintel put out that I did not touch on yesterday. They're talking about global warming, remember? Here's what these group of scientists are stating. Now, again, I know some years ago I was talking about climate change not being as real in the sense that how some are claiming, and I got calls and people, you're not listening to science. There are scientists that say it is. I said, you can find scientists on either side. So I'm going to acknowledge that even here. And Andrea Mitchell's going to quote one here in a moment, but we'll come back to her shortly in the interview with Vivek Ramaswamy. What Clintel, this group of an independent group dealing with fields of climate change and climate policy, the 1,609 involved, they say natural as well as anthropologic factors are causing warming. In other words, the geological archive reveals Earth's climate has varied as long as the planet has existed. That should be no surprise to anyone. This goes back to that simple scenario I lay out often. Take a yardstick, put a sesame seed at the beginning or at the very end of the yardstick. At the end of the yardstick, that sesame seed represents all of mankind from whenever you want to define man was on earth. And everything before that sesame seed is a world where man did not exist. Can you really make a comparison with what's on the sesame seed area to everything else before? So these scientists are saying, geological archive reveals Earth's climate has varied as long as a planet has existed, with natural cold and warm phases. The Little Ice Age ended as recently as 1850. Therefore, it is no surprise we're not experiencing a period of warming. Then they point out, the world has warmed significantly less than predicted by some of these on the basis of the gap between the real world and the model world tells us we are far from understanding climate change. They also point out climate policy relies on many shortcomings, not even remotely plausible as global policy. They blow up the effect of greenhouse gases, such as CO2. They ignore the fact that enriching the atmosphere with CO2 is beneficial, which takes us back to Andrea Mitchell and Vivek Ramaswamy dealing with that and other aspects.
The Earth is covered by more green surface area today than it was half a century or a century ago because carbon dioxide is plant food. And carbon dioxide as a percentage of the atmosphere is still at a relative low through human history. Those are hard facts. And I think we have to acknowledge those facts when having this debate.
There's a hard fact of the hurricane that is now approaching. The mayor, a three-generation St. Petersburg resident, says he's never seen anything like this, the ocean warming. But let me move on to some
Andrea, may I respect offer a response to that, and I mean this with due respect. If someone on the other side were an uneducated person from Arkansas who didn't go to college and offered one weather event as an N of one anecdote to help support the theory of global climate change, you'd laugh off the stage as a rube for saying they don't follow data. The same shoe has to fit the other foot. Follow the actual data.
I'm not talking about one person's opinion. We talked to professors, academics.
You literally just quoted one person's opinion with due respect. That's exactly what you just quoted. And I think that that's what's driving this kind of false narrative as opposed to the facts that I'm citing.
Well, and Dr. Michael Mann, whom we interview often, and other professionals in this field.
Yeah, those who agree with what you want to peddle. I tried to look. I wasn't sure what Dr. Manning she was referring to. I did some research. I found a couple she might have been referring to. I'm not going to speculate. The bottom line is they're going to find folks who agree with them. I want you to have the facts of the truth, and if it exists, let's deal with it. But they don't want to deal with it. They simply want to point out this. And she quoted, as he said, you quoted one person. You know who she quoted? The mayor of a Florida city who said, I've never seen anything like this. But she tied in a mayor with three generations that grew up in that area. That means nothing. Three generations. Say the mayor is obviously a full-grown man. He had a father, he had a granddad, so they're your three generations. You want to add a great-grandfather? Great. That still is not enough. Just because the hurricane came up the current path it did this time, that's climate change? Well, no. Let's go back to clientele. They point out there is no statistical evidence global warming is intensifying hurricanes, floods, droughts, and such like natural disasters, or even making them more frequent. There is ample evidence that CO2 measures are as damaging as they are costly, those who are trying to mitigate CO2. Because as Vivek said, our planet is greener than it has been. And yes, we're worried about emissions. We want to control them. But don't set your hair on fire over it. Because again, according to these scientists, the 1,609 forming clientele say deal with the science, not the policy, the harsh reports and claims. They say there is no climate emergency. Therefore, there is no cause for panic and alarm. And another source that I used yesterday, Alex Epstein, who author of the book Fossil Future, he is a founder and president of the Center for Industrial Progress.
Alex, when you hear this talk about a climate emergency, what do you think?
It really scares me because they're referring to something that isn't real, but then they're going to do enormous damage on the basis of it. So when you hear these questions about, okay, is this the new normal? You have to actually be clinical and objective and look at the trend. And what Biden wants to do is rapidly eliminate fossil fuels, which means we're not going to have the energy to keep ourselves safe from climate or to live good lives in any other respect. So he's already taken totally illegitimate executive power without declaring an emergency. Imagine what this guy with explicit emergency powers, given what we saw with COVID, it just makes him an indefinite dictator.
That is a fact. Now, again, I pointed out to you that the one you were listening to, Alex Epstein, is the author of a book, Fossil Futures. So he believes in that. He's the founder and president of the Center for Industrial Progress. So I'm trying to give you the balance, make sure you get the source. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. But again, back to these 1,609 forming clientele, they say the biggest issue is journalists who are peddling all this is a wild, crazy emergency. And they're getting shored up by the Biden and the AG, AOC, Green Group, and Kerry and Gore, who are raking in the money, flying around in their private jets and telling you, you got to do everything from cutting off and changing your ceiling fan. Speaking of COVID, new development here. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I just confirmed this with the CDC a few minutes ago, that if you are exposed to somebody with COVID, you no longer have to quarantine whether you are vaccinated or not. However, you do need to wear a mask for 10 days around others and get tested at day 5 after exposure or sooner if you have symptoms. And Margaret, this should lessen disruption in schools and elsewhere.
Yeah, it should if they actually follow the science this time. That is Dr. John LaPook appearing on CBS News talking about, I just got off from talking CDC and you don't have to do all this stuff we did before. You might need to take some cautions, but you don't have to do everything. In other words, you do not need to lock down as we did before. Now, this is John LaPook, Dr. John LaPook, CBS News, one of their medical experts. Now, I wonder how many out there right now are decrying he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because he's not saying what you want to hear. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm looking at a quote from Trump here and actually put up a piece on it. I didn't have time to deal with it today. But he's warning COVID tyrants, if you're looking to execute lockdowns to interfere with the 2024 election, we will not comply. I've already had discussions with some folks, and they're saying, you know, if they start trying to do this again, then forget it. And you know why? Because we've lost trust in the CDC and the National Institutes of Health. Well, why is that, Larry? I'm glad you asked. Because of Dr. Fake and his kind, who were basically peddling, and I'm going to call it, snake oil medicine as to what they thought you should be doing and what you're not allowed to do. Remember when they came up with, and you remember the marks on floors if you were standing in a queue for something and at the bank or somewhere, 6 feet, stand here, stand, maybe it's 8 feet, I don't remember now, but it didn't make a difference. They just came up with a number. There was no scientific evidence showing 6 feet versus 8 feet versus 10 feet. No. There's no evidence if you put up a plastic shield in front of the cash register, COVID won't go over it, around it, or just kind of hang out and slip in under the cage. Who knows? And now we're having talk of a new COVID coming out. And because of that, here you're hearing Trump warning already, if you're going to push COVID tyrant issues again, trying to disrupt the 2024 election, we will not comply. Well, Biden is already moving in that direction. He did it the other day. He was appearing in Salt Lake City. I'm sorry, South Lake Tahoe. Remember, he was spending time with that billionaire friend of his who at one time ran for office as well for president. Biden had said just last Friday, I don't know if he actually said it in these words and without stumbling, but I'm going to just do it without stumbling. He's planning to request more money from Congress to develop another new coronavirus vaccine because scientists are tracking new waves and hospitalizations going up, but they're not like they were before. Could this just be the flu this time? Combination thereof? I've told you, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I got vaccine only after we had a relative 10 to 15 years younger than me pass away suddenly, and my daughters insisted I get it. So I did. I made a promise to them. I got it. I got COVID after I got the vaccine. I got a booster shot. I got COVID. I've had COVID at least twice since getting the booster shot. One of them confirmed because I went to check it, and the other one, I didn't even bother. Let it go. I'm having a conversation with a relative the other day about all this happening and how, you know, we just have to be careful what's going to be pushed on us. And the relatives pointed out the relative who had passed away. Don't forget, he died of COVID. Now, I'm going to get into an argument with a relative over this. But I was wanting to say, did he die of COVID or with COVID or because they put him on intubator when they didn't need to? I mean, when they did things they shouldn't. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not trying to claim to be the doctor, but I don't want to interfere with her grief. And what she was trying to say is, don't be so callous. Remember, I lost my loved one because of it. Well, I understand that. If you lose a loved one in a car wreck, are you never going to travel in a car again? So anyway, Biden, while on vacation, again in Lake Tahoe, said, I signed off this morning on a proposal we had to present to Congress, a request for additional funding for a new vaccine that is necessary that works. Oh, he's admitting the others didn't work, right? We know they didn't because how many did he have? Three? And of course, he said it is tentatively recommended, not ordered, tentatively recommended that once we get these new vaccines out, that everybody get one. We're recommending. That's a preface to, we order you to go get the shot, the jab. If it comes to that, there'll be a lot of folks saying, no way in hell, just like you heard from Trump, we're not going to comply. I'm looking at a piece here that was put out, and the source is, it looks like it's a combination of others and put together by, apparently I would gather, a reliable journalist, but basically reference COVID-19 therapeutics and boosters all need new studies, saying the COVID-19 pandemic, when it was done, some of the vaccines did save lives. Those who went on the vent died anyway, in some cases, as I was discussing the relative. It ends up saying all of the data that was used then does not apply now and going forward. It does not apply. It points out not a single one of those trials has assessed the value of these medications in the current world, where many have now had COVID multiple times and received multiple boosters, and not a single of the trials applies to current circulating strains. Talking about the Biden administration pushing this new drug on vaccinated people who already had COVID. He said, frankly, all these products is more failure. COVID-19 today is different than it was in 2020. And question is, do these drugs work? And he quotes a source, a couple of doctors that say the evidence, and this is a good point, any evidence of a COVID booster shot working and so forth, if it did, it should come with an expiration date. That's a good idea. Like the food you buy, best used if by this date. And Paxlovid is one of the ones they're looking at. She said, if we don't look at these studies and learn that this is not the same, not to be treated the same, we merely enrich drug companies and potentially harm people through side effects of medications that do not offer countervailing benefits. We have no idea any of these drugs will work going forward. Not difficult, he adds, to generate evidence for drugs that earn billions, but time to re-up the evidence basis. And again, all this information that suggests that this time these drugs will work, you're basing that on what? You haven't had time to do those trials either, have you? Well, it's based upon the fact, as it was stated, all of these recommendations, all of the criteria and the approach should come with an expiration date. I think that's a good idea. I really regret I pulled this off, and I cannot see the exact source for this, because I always like to give you, well, the data apparently comes from a group called the Recovery Group. I don't know who they are. If you want to assume that they were in Dr. Fake's pocket and the pharmaceutical pocket or not, I'll leave that to you. But the theory and the thought process is clear. You can't base what we're doing now with the new, quote, COVID strain based on what we had before. Perfect example, flu shots, various flu strains. We develop a particular flu vaccine. It turns out it doesn't work that year. We got the wrong one. but watch for the government try to weaponize this once again. Which brings us to something else they already want to change. They want to start messing with your ceiling fan and even your beer drinking. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas says, kiss my... Well, let him say it.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
They're trying to go after and regulate ceiling fans. I got to tell you, it's hot in Texas. We don't want to get rid of our ceiling fans. And now these idiots have come out and said, drink two beers a week. That's their guideline. Well, I got to tell you, if they want us to drink two beers a week, frankly, they can kiss my ass.
I told you you'd say it. And I let him say it. Senator Ted Cruz. Yeah, there's a recommendation from the government. Some idiot decide, you know, two beers, that should be your limit. Well, two beers would be too much for some. Two beers for some just getting started. And certainly don't be driving and drinking. I'll agree with that one. But as he was doing an interview with a Newsmax, he's saying, he started out by saying, now they want to mess with our ceiling fans. Are you aware of that story? The Department of Energy. Yeah, they got nothing else to do now except find something else that would apply to, quote, green climate change and concerns, which we debunked entirely in the segment preceding this one. This DOE rule that got proposed would require ceiling fans to become more energy efficient. Okay. But the rules they're presenting would basically cost the small manufacturers of ceiling fans to go bankrupt trying to retool to meet these new standards. But they'll say, look, this will work out for the customer. They will save money. They're going to save a lot of money over the lifespan of using that ceiling fan. Larry, how much money are they going to save? I'm glad you asked that. Let me hold off on the answer for just a moment. Because they, obviously, as Ted Cruz said, ceiling fans have always been, part of Texas, and you go down south, anywhere where the humidity is really thick. I mean, it's thick. It's so thick, you'll see ground squirrels digging in at eye level because it's that thick. They think they're already on the ground, but they're in the midst of the humidity. Ceiling fans always a cheap. Cheaper than air conditioners. And maybe it would do the job. At least it moves the air. Even if it's moving the hot air, sometimes that helps. But the DOE is saying, you know, let's make these changes. It's estimated 85 million American households have at least one ceiling fan, and 25% use at least four or more. Put me down in that group. When I had a house, I had one in every room. Now I have only two, one in the living room and one in the bedroom. Now run it at high all the time. I pay the price for it, but so be it. If I had a new one, what would it save me? They say if they put this new rule in effect and the changes make over the lifespan of that ceiling fan, 10, 12, 14 years, it would save me $39. $39 over the lifespan of the fan. These people and the things they're trying to tilt windmills again. That, not going to get back to that Newsmax anchor asking Cruz additional question. We'll simply admit that Cruz said, you know what he told you to do if you want to cut down his beer. Coming up, the China economy, and more on the new COVID. Next hour, remember our pledge, one nation under God.